Big
Wild.
Thank you so much. Because Rationale is featuring Rationale. So Sixes to Nines by Big Wild featuring Rationale. It's such a good song. Look it up.
Oh my God, hey, I y'all. Love it.
Hi, everybody. We missed you.
Oh my gosh. Welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Blackboard Collective presents Justice and Juice. Oh, the Wiz added some movement. The Wiz added some movement. He did. To the bass.
I never add movement. Yeah. I get nervous. I'm always just like, I know what note to hit. We'll hold it.
Alaska music adds movement too sometimes.
Sustain. Yeah. Guys, we're missing a leg today.
Yeah. You know us and our missing legs. We miss you, Alaska music. She almost made it.
I can't believe we have three of us.
I know.
I know. Like, that's been. Honestly, like hard enough to accomplish lately. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Casey, and I am drinking vodka. And
that was water or vodka?
Yeah, that was water. It was definitely water.
Okay. I just want to make sure because of the conversation we had before. I was like, I think the little bit of wine is not going to be the problem.
Yeah. No, and then I put a teeny tiny bit of rosé into a big thing of sparkling water because I want it to be a little bit fun, but I also have to be responsible because I have rehearsal tonight. So that is my situation. Paige.
Love that for you. Hello, everybody. What is up? It's Paige. I am drinking water or vodka and not vodka. And I'm just drinking a nice Italian red wine. Couldn't tell you the name of it, but the bottle is really pretty. So
cool.
Love that. Counts yeah. And, I haven't eaten a lot today, so we'll see how I am in like 30 minutes.
We love that. Just in time for the end of the episode. We love
it. Exactly. I just will progressively get a little more like, yeah, you know what? Just kidding. That'll never happen on this podcast. Actually, that'll never happen. Okay. Wiz.
I feel like early episodes.
Oh, I was going to say, no, it's already happened.
Did we get slurry, though?
Tiny bit,
I don't
think.
Know. Not slurry. But like, you know.
Like absolutely drunk, but not slurry. That is a different kind of drunk.
She's got something.
That is different.
Well, hey, look, I'm drinking watered down? Wait, how do you say that? Watered down.
Yeah.
Pink lemonade. 95% water now. And my little puppy is hanging out with us during this podcast, which is incredible to me.
Hi,
she's right over here. She's,
guest host.
She would be a great guest host. She is super smart, super sassy, and she loves treats. So she'd be perfect.
Same. She and I have a lot
in
common.
You know what? Yeah, she sounds a lot like me. Love that for us. Wow, did you just adopt a dog that's all of us?
And right.
Yes.
That's what happened. That makes sense.
Out.
Paige, do you have a black business for us?
Do I? Let me pull her up. All right, everybody. So this month, I mean, you know what, this episode...
Yeah, I'm not gonna
pigeonhole us to months these days.
No, don't put us in a box.
You know what? I don't want to be in a box. Just kidding. Okay. Sorry, I just had a moment. Black business of the episode today is Project Q. Project Q. Project Q Community Center is a nonprofit organization that provides a safe space for LGBTQIA+ youth. At the Community Center, LGBTQIA+ folks with housing insecurities can receive free mentorship, classes, and workshops, therapy, along with free gender-affirming haircuts. We pride ourselves on being 100% inclusive and a safe space where everyone is welcome regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, size, ability, and income. You can follow Project Q on Instagram at project_Q_, or you can also head over to theblkboardcollective.com, scroll down, and smash that green learn more button.
Wow, smash is such an aggressive word to use, but yeah, do that.
I was making fun of YouTubers, you know, when they're like, smash that subscribe button.
It was funny. It's aggressive when they do it too, to be fair.
It was, yes. It was cosplay.
What?
I was cosplaying as a YouTuber.
I don't think that you're using cosplay correctly.
Impersonate?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the word.
It was more like an impersonation. Yeah. That's very fun.
Paige can cosplay. I don't know.
Yeah, Casey, come
let's
on.
Don't
put cosplay in a box.
Yeah.
Let's not let like we're definitions of words. Yeah. You shouldn't be confined by the things in the dictionary.
Do not confine me. Do not.
I won't. You reinvent. Never do. Reinvent Please. Words. English is bullshit anyway.
Exactly. It's silly.
It is, but I was going to say I'm sad that Laska Music isn't here to talk about Project Q because she actually knows Madden Ray Lopez, I believe I'm saying Madden's name properly, who I believe is one of the founders of Project Q, but I've heard nothing but wonderful things about Madden from both Laska and JJ. JJ has gotten his hair cut at Project Q for like years and is very good friends with Madden, and so... it sounds like a really wonderful, loving, accepting, cool ass place. And so hit them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, head on over there.
Kaylee would do a lot of things to have me get a haircut. Let me just say that.
Well, you can go to Project Q and get one.
I don't know if you need a gender affirming haircut, though.
I think you're
probably
That's
just
true.
In need of a haircut.
Like, I can't get a regular hair. I mean, regular. But you know what I mean? I mean, you can't.
I mean, you can't. I think they were going more for. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to tell anybody. Okay, yeah. I'm not going to throw anybody in a haircut box. Okay.
But I think that you would probably have to pay for yours. But I think would.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Totally. Hair. I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we love that.
I'd pay for mine. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
I'll pay for most things. I'm like, sure. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. I'll pay for it.
No, I was not looking for a free haircut. I was looking to support.
You're like, I just want to support.
Yeah, no.
We love that.
We want you to That's support. Good. So Paige, back to you. What's going on in the world? Get us started.
Christ. All right. Well, guys,
Criminy.
A lot of stuff's happening. Okay. Since we last met.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Russia invaded Ukraine.
Have we not talked since then?
Nope, sure haven't. So since the invasion, Russia's just like trying. Ukraine is holding steady-ish. The president of Ukraine is like maybe the person of the century, in my personal opinion. I think he's handled this really well. But none of us are international relations people, so... This is just an update, but obviously you guys all know that because you don't live under a rock. Also, Ketanji Brown Jackson was nominated for the seat on the Supreme Court and is currently on her first day of confirmation hearings. She's a uniquely qualified justice. She's actually the most qualified justice that has ever sat on the court.
That's awesome.
She has been a judge in all three courts. She's been a district judge, federal judge, appellate judge. I mean, she's been everywhere. So those have been actually really interesting. I pulled those up. Josh Hawley has obviously like created some silly attacks on her about her sentencing for
drugs and stuff,
certain cases. He's really honed in on child pornography
cases.
I
was gonna say, wait, no, it was child pornography.
Yeah. And she, I mean, I watched his questioning of her, but I didn't get to see the person after, or I saw Dick Durbin, and Dick Durbin kind of like, so basically the whole thing about it is that in 2003, there was an act that Congress passed, and they wanted there to be a mandatory sentencing of, I think it's 97 to 121 months of jail time for sex offenders, like child pornography sex offenders, those kinds of things. And I almost called her doctor, excuse me. Judge Jackson would regularly kind of sentence under that like mandatory guideline, because it's like mandatory, but it's a guideline, right? So yeah, they kind of, it goes back and forth. But so she kind of like defended what?
From what I was hearing, I feel like, from what I was listening to, they were saying that they were kind of making it sound like she did that more often than she actually did. It sounded like 5 out of the 7 times she actually sentenced at the suggested or more. Mm-hmm. And then it was like twice that she went under.
Yes. Well, Josh Hawley and the, you know, 45 crew are going to do what they do, and they're going to find one thing that they can hone in on and like make it seem so much bigger. But also too, not even that she hasn't done that every time. That's kind of the standard among most judges. There's not really a judge that is like not doing that or doing something differently.
Yeah.
Because, and also too, the case, and I'm not condoning, of course, any of the things that were talked about in the case that Josh Hawley had mentioned. But the case was for an 18-year-old who was found to have like a bunch of child pornography in his possession. And some of it is like very jarring to hear about, the things that I'm not going to repeat them here, but, you know, just like some of the pictures and some of the videos and what they were. And Judge Jackson was like, I have to take into account everything that's going on in the situation. I can't just look at this one video that he's in possession of. Did he make the video? Did he cause the situation to happen? Like, there are so many other things. And also, she doesn't have her case files in front of her. She can't just sit there and like, you know, go back over everything. So if you watch that and you kind of get like a feel weird about her answers, I urge you to go back and watch them again. She actually is, she looks tired, but she just looks like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah. Most of the time she's like, okay, again with this. But she really does answer the question well. And then Dick Durbin, who is, I think, the chair of the committee, if I'm correct, I don't remember. Dang it. Normally I say things like that and the Wiz will either be like, yes, nod yes, or shake his head no, but he didn't say anything. So I'm not sure. But he kind of was like, he came to defense of Judge Jackson, and honestly, a lot of judges, because he said, you know, you're coming at her for something that Congress, we passed this law that made things mandatory. And then in, I think, so it was 2003, they passed this law that gave the mandatory sentence. And then I think they said in like 2005, they passed another law that made those sentences guidelines instead of mandatory sentencing. So then he's like, so we as Congress put that burden onto judges to decide what to do. And now you're mad at her for deciding what to do. Yeah. And he was like, it's interesting, Senator Hawley. I haven't seen any legislation cross my desk in, you know, for that issue that you're having with this, you know, Congress passed this to be a mandatory sentence and you're kind of just creating problems. So
yeah,
all of this to say, Josh Hawley did what Josh Hawley does, and Judge Jackson is, seriously, if this kind of stuff like is enjoyable for you to listen to and watch, and you have the time and you have like the mental space to kind of be like irritated for a little bit, it's really fun to watch her because she's really not never phased. Like, she kind of got a little passionate when he was basically like, well, don't you think that child pornography and sex offense is bad? And she was like, yeah, dumbass. Like, what?
Yeah.
Of course.
Idiot.
But she's really fun to listen to. So I highly, highly recommend, if you have the chance and the space, to put on the confirmation hearings if you can. This is also, I mean, this is historic. So.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
And I've only gotten a chance to hear a little bit of her speech that she gave, but it was really, it was beautiful and touching and really frustrating to know that, you know, after giving such a wonderful speech and after being so qualified and all the things, that she was just going to proceed to be attacked for, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. days and yeah. days.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I wish I was like more surprised by that. Like, I wish I was like, I can't believe it. You know what I mean?
I'm not at all like, surprised. It's just frustrating, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's maddening. But she, I mean, she's on her way to get a confirmed. I'm sure she will. But the confirmation hearings are always exciting to watch because, and I also kind of have, this is just going to be me talking for 45 minutes.
I love it.
But I've just been thinking a lot about the way that like courts have now suddenly, I guess not suddenly, I'm sure this has kind of been like this slow burn into this, you know, deeply partisan world that we live in. But like the fact that we have a Supreme Court that it's always kind of been this way, that is classified as a conservative court, a liberal court, a 50-50 court. That's not how that's supposed to work.
Well, I thought the Supreme Court was supposed to be nonpartisan. It never really has been, but I thought it was supposed to be.
Correct. So the fact that we have become so comfortable in labeling these things as this is a liberal judge, this is a conservative judge, this is, you know, instead of saying this is a judge who oftentimes like maybe leans this way, but not like it's just kind of interesting to me. And I've really been thinking about it when they say like, when, especially with like Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett and all of the cases that they are starting to kind of decide to take on.
Yeah.
It's just really interesting because the Supreme Court is the highest court in the land because it's supposed to be a nonpartisan judge of constitutional issues. That's what it's there for. And it's kind of been like dumbed down into this like fighting match of, you know, well, if we have enough conservative judges on the court, then we can veto Roe v. Wade. If we have enough liberal judges on the court, Roe v. Wade is safe. And it's always like that. That is like the tipping point.
Isn't that all of American politics right now, though? Like, I don't think that there is anything in American politics that is nonpartisan.
I just, like, totally. I just think that, like, the Supreme Court isn't really supposed to be political in the sense that we think about it. You know what I mean? Like, and like, in its founding, I'm not saying it's, and that there's a time it's never been, like, it's never not been political. I think it's always been this way. But on its face, if you look at it on paper, like the Supreme Court is supposed to be the bipartisan board, essentially, that is like, we're going to look at everything and judge it from a point of view that is nonpartisan. Like,
well, don't.
It's crazy.
This is my own ignorance can't even think of the word that I'm trying to think
of. Okay.
So, but don't presidents appoint judges?
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean,
but yes, then the Senate confirms.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's ways. But here's the thing, the most recent.
That's going to make it partisan, right?
Right. Well, yeah. The most recent judges who've been nominated by Republicans have not even been qualified, according to the usual places in which you go to see if someone should be qualified to be a judge on the Supreme Court. And that's one of the biggest issues. It's not just that they're partisans, that they're actually hacks, H-A-C-K-S. Mm-hmm. They aren't really validated by their own system to say, yes, you would be an outstanding judge on the Supreme Court, lifetime sentence, interpreting the Constitution, interpreting previous decisions. And so that's why Roe and others are being debated today, because we live in a society that these types of judges are saying, no, these previous cases aren't actually settled law. Women may be prosecuted for taking birth control or having an abortion.
Which is insane. Yep. And I mean, I think it's so dangerous to, which we've talked about before, to make them lifetime appointments.
No,
especially
I totally agree.
Because of the situation that we're finding ourselves in. Like, we're going to have presidents like 45 and then allow them to appoint anything into our government that can stay for a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, and also too, I mean, think about like Amy Coney Barrett is probably going to be on the court for our lifetime. Brett Kavanaugh, for our lifetime. Ketanji Brown Jackson, God willing, for our lifetime. Like, it's crazy. But also, so I listened to this podcast on Crooked Media. It's called Strict Scrutiny, and it's three law professors, and they all talk about, like, the goings-on in the Supreme Court. Oh, and I'm sure that if, like, it's sad, because, like, somebody suggested it to me, and I was like, oh, snooze fest. Like, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But I listened to it, and it's so funny. They're so funny. It's like Crooked Media vibes, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like Jon Favreau is out here with, like, his boys, but it's the lady version, and it's super good. And they talk about, like, the way that the Supreme Court is. And they always talk about, one, that Brett Kavanaugh is a partisan hack.
Yeah.
But also that the Supreme Court is now being leveraged as this partisan unit. Which is fundamentally, like, not what it is for. And so, I mean, I just have, like, been thinking about that, because I was like, a liberal judge shouldn't be a thing. I want a liberal judge because I'm a liberal, right? Mm-hmm. But
not the point.
It's not the point. Like, I was sitting there watching Josh Hawley talk to Judge Jackson about this case and about everything. And he is, like, hammering her for her decision of the sentence that she sent down for the person that she was being the not victim in the case, the criminal in the case. Right. I couldn't think of the word for that. The plaintiff. I don't know. It's not right. That's not correct. Anyways. So
The defendant. Okay.
A queen. I have taken law classes. Don't worry about it.
I have not.
You know what? We'll switch. You can do my school. I'll go to rehearsal.
No.
God,
okay.
No. No, it's fine. It's fine. But, like, so I was sitting here thinking, like, we can – And this goes for everything. And there are absolutely cases in which the judge messes up and the judge says something that you're like, hold the fucking phone.
Yeah.
Right. The Stanford swimmer, I can't remember his name. I don't really care. The Stanford swimmer that attacked that girl and raped her and everything. And then was given, like, 3 months or whatever, because he didn't
know about this.
You do. Brock Turner. That's his name. Sorry for everybody.
I do.
We need to start putting trigger warnings on the top of these episodes. The judge in Brock Turner's case, he was not acting in a way that was, like, looking at the entire thing, right?
Yeah.
He was looking at this young man's future, young boy's future, whatever, and cared about that more than anything else. That's not what I'm talking about. I think that judges are supposed to look at the entire case. And unfortunately, no matter the crime, they still have to act unfazed by it. Like, that is why people get defense lawyers. That is why defense lawyers are highly paid. Not public defenders, those are not highly paid, but defense lawyers are raking in the dough, and they just go on stage
on stage on the floor and make up the story that they can make up, right? They tie everything, like all these little loose ends together, and they're like, but what about this story? And even though it's abhorrent to watch, that's the way our justice system is supposed to work. People are supposed to have the best defense that they can have, and it's supposed to be presented to a nonpartisan, neutral decider. Yeah. So like for him to just sit there and like come at her like that, I was like, oh my God, read a book. Like, Jesus Christ, Josh.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
He really is. They're all the worst.
So they're horrible and I hate them. So that's Ketanji Brown Jackson.
And then I'm dying to hear all of your thoughts and feelings and all the things on Don't Say Gay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, they're short and sweet, and I'm sure that anyone that listens to this podcast regularly probably can like pick up. I really wish Lasko was here for this conversation.
Yeah, me too.
Because the whole thing about it is like, by calling it the Don't Say Gay bill, we've kind of made it seem like this big, huge thing that Florida is making it so nobody can say gay in schools ever, which is not true. But doesn't make it any less horrid, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are saying that from third grade down, children are not going to be taught about sexual orientation, anything, sexual orientation, like gender affirming care, gender identity, anything like that. They're not supposed to learn about if there are like historic figures that they learned about, if there is any kind of, you know, they were gay, not allowed to learn about that. You're not allowed to basically say that a public figure or celebrity or whatever is gay.
Okay.
And one, is this really an issue that we need?
No, like, that's what I'm like.
An issue?
Who was concerned about that? And also,
who is concerned?
Are we outruling? Is it just if they were gay? So like,
yeah.
if they were straight, then we can mention their, you know, if it's a man, we can mention his wife. If it's a woman, we can mention her husband. We can mention how they met. We can mention all that. But if they're gay, we just have to be like, and they had active social life.
They were more fun than all their friends. Like, what do you say? Like, what? But also, so that is one thing that I'm sure.
So, has this been a problem in schools? Has this been an issue?
Well, no, because once again, it is. It's, well, the thing that I really think it's about, I think it's more about kids, trans kids, who come out as trans as children and then decide that they want to transition as a, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Everybody hold the phone.
Oh
okay.
My
we're
going
to get back to this. Laska just popped on. Laska, say hello to the people.
Hi people.
Oh my God. Laska, we were just ranting about the Don't Say Gay bill. I literally said a minute ago, I was like, where is Laska? I wish we were here to have this conversation. I love this.
And then
I love
he pops
this.
On. That made me
and then
so
she's
happy.
Here. Wow.
I mean,
okay.
It's not a surprise. No. I just came on. I came on cue. I mean, it was.
You did. You were like, go, 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 go. The gays.
Oh, like gay?
Us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's me. That's how I be. All right. So, a little catch up. We were just talking about the Don't Say Gay bill and like what it means and that it's focused mostly on children third grade and down, right? So no younger than or no older than third grade. Teachers are not allowed to talk about gender affirming care, talk about gender identity, talk about sexual orientation as pertaining to students or people in history. And Casey and I were just positing about was that a thing?
Was that an issue? Like, were people, like, I mean, it's almost
like
kind of nice.
For teaching.
For them, it was an issue.
But okay. It's been a long time since I was in the third grade, but I don't remember there being lots of talk about anybody's romantic proclivities when we were learning things. Now, if it has become an issue because teachers are bringing that into class more, more talk about gender fluidity and gender affirming surgeries and things like that, then on one hand, I kind of think that that's really cool. I think that that's, if it's happening so much now that it's becoming an issue and making people angry, then I think it's cool that we have that in schools because, you know, kids should learn. I want it to be normalized for people who are, you know, questioning their gender or don't necessarily feel like all their friends do and have wonders about their bodies rather than doing that quietly and alone. If we're all learning about it at a young age, then it's normal. And then everyone understands better how to support you through that too, if we all learn the same things at the same time. So on one hand, I'm like, okay, if this was becoming an issue because people were starting to do that, then cool. And I hope they get to continue to do that. But something tells me that this was not an issue. And they have put it just in the forefront of things and given it such a clickbait name because they want to get a rise out of conservatives, piss liberals off, pit us against each other, and make themselves look good before midterm elections so that horrible QAnon people can vote for them because they're the don't say gay politicians, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I also really do think that it stems from a lot of this, like, I mean, right now in the country, I think there's some, like, the last number I saw was like in the hundreds, and I don't want to say, I don't know, but there are so many anti-trans bills going around all over the country. And I think that this is just stemming from that because they're like, well, if we make it illegal to talk about these things, then kids just won't know. But Laska, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did somebody saying gay in school make you gay?
Oh, I'm trying really hard not to have some sort of sarcastic fucking answer to that. But no. I'll be serious.
No,
I'll
be serious.
No, because it's true.
Same.
No.
Like, so
nobody said gay. But
I was gonna say,
like, nobody really said anything. You know what I mean? Like, I think, listen, I'm fortunate as an artist to be able to lend voice to things like audiobooks where I get to, like, represent for young, you know, I'm doing audiobooks for young adults that are queer of color. And it's like, I think I'm like, wow, how important is that? Because when I think back to when I was a kid, I was like, I didn't have these kinds of materials. So I didn't have a teacher that was like telling me like, yeah, like, you know, be you, like, fully, like, it wasn't a thing. You know what I mean? It was like, everybody was trying to, like, steer you away from being whatever it is you were anyway. But like now, I think we have these materials at hand to help kids, you know, navigate, you know, the things that they don't really talk about in school. And I don't know if that answered your question, Paige. I'm sorry.
I was asking it as more of like a, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck is this bill? And also, I think one of my biggest issues is just that, and this is also going to be something that people, because there's been Supreme Court cases decided on, like, not this exact thing, but they're going to use it. I can guarantee you, I will bet everybody on this podcast right now, $20, that when this case is relitigated, because the ACLU is probably going to, you know, throw some kind of lawsuit at it or something, they will reference Lawrence v. Texas.
What is
from
Lawrence?
2003.
What is
Lawrence? We've talked about it on the podcast before. Yeah, Lawrence v. Texas was when it's the Supreme Court case that the two guys were found.
Oh, yes.
Right. In a same-sex act, and they got arrested for it. And the entire thing about the law was that you cannot have a law that discriminates against gay people, but not straight people too. And this law is that. Where is the law that says we will not talk about any kind of sexual things? How many times
would be fine.
But real fast, when you are at a child's birthday party, Okay. And it's a little girl's birthday party or whatever. And there's a little boy that's chasing her around. We have all been like, oh my God, he has a crush on her. He's two. He doesn't know what in that. But like, we've all done it. We've all done it. Oh, you have a crush on a boy? You're six? Tell me about it. Like, it's only taboo when it's gay.
Yeah, because they've sexualized gay people.
Yeah.
They've made it a sexual thing.
Yeah.
And like bisexual being like a really terrible, bad, horrible, like you're going to hell thing. Just saying. It's like, but that's not like, you, I don't know. This is the same reason why they're doing the things that they do to like Lil Nas, right? But they like can't stand him for putting all of his, but listen, the only reason I'm bringing him up is because I feel like other people who don't understand this community put that on us, but we are human beings. We are sexual. We do love. We do, you know what I mean? Like, but it's not taboo. It's normal love and sexual thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like some sort of weird fucking like thing. That's what pisses me off the most. It's like, well, you guys are being sexual in your homos. So let's put you over there.
In your homos.
Your homos. That makes it so different. Like, it's just, it's funny to me. I'm like, okay.
I was going to say, but what are we even talking about? Are we talking about sexuality? Or are we talking about gender? So if
it's both.
So
The bill references both. No gender identity talks, no talks about sexual orientation.
Which are different.
It's those two things, like, specifically.
Okay, here's what I think. I think having talks about sexuality and, like, right, I think there are specific ages. I think gender is something different because I think that kids, like, they should be able to come to somebody and say, like, I feel about this or I like that without being told you can't talk about it or you're being pushed towards something different, right? Because you're different for thinking that you like blue when you shouldn't like blue or whatever, right? Like, that's really weird. But then I think there's like appropriate talks about, but like sexuality, but even that I think is so fucking old. It's like decrepit. Like even when we were in school, like you go into sex class and what even is that? Like, what did we learn? Did we learn anything? Like, no one learned shit.
No, nobody taught me shit about how to have sex with women.
We need to have full, like, actual, like,
I mean, I'm fine.
Though. Right. Like, you're okay.
Yeah, yeah. Please put it out there. You're doing fine.
I mean, like, no, I'm great. Give me my coffee.
But if we don't include people from this community in those classes, then it will always be outside of it. It will always be never nor, you know what I mean? Like, it's like when Tiffany and I, this is just a mini story, but when Tiffany and I got together and her mom first came out here, and her mom's very accepting, very awesome individual. However, when you're not used to seeing something ever, then you're never used to see, you know what I mean? And she went to grab my hand at the farmer's market. And I remember like pulling away because I was like that was my own self being like, oh God, like what if she hates me? Like what if, right? And then she was like, well, she grabbed my hand and she was like, well, if she never sees us, then I guess she'll never know. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Just like very, just like she's going to have to fucking get used to it or else she'll never get used to it.
Yeah.
And this is like people across the country. I'm just saying, like, not like you have to like force people, but I think if no one ever sees it as a normal thing, then it'll never be a normal thing. It should be a normal thing. It's ridiculous.
I think my issue with this is them making it, which I think is probably a part of all of our issue with it, is that, well, I have a lot of issues with it. First of all,
break it down, Casey.
What you just said, last guy, I think is so true of like gender and sexuality are different things. So throwing those two things in together and saying that anybody third grade and down shouldn't be talked to about either, I think is incorrect. I think having a gender conversation with...
And dangerous.
Very.
Oh my God, it's so dangerous.
Very dangerous, and also perpetuating a certain type of ignorance that has always been pervasive in our culture that we are, like, I feel like the younger generations are trying to root out. But that's not surprising because I feel like so many of the laws with all these people that we often talk about that we can't wait to expire are just trying to protect an old way of being because they see the new guard of society coming in and try to reestablish things. So I think that having conversations with kids about gender is something that is actually very necessary because from the moment they pop out of the womb, gender is often being put on them. So you're saying that we can't talk to them about gender, but we're constantly talking to them about gender. We do it before they're even born. We have gender reveal parties. We paint their rooms certain colors that associated. We have balloons that say it's a boy. Yeah, exactly. So
if I see one more gender reveal party, I'm going to jump into the street.
So we should talk to them about that, because whether or not
jump in the street.
Yeah, I would love it if you didn't. I would love it if you didn't do that.
Then you know what? Everybody has a PSA. Keep your freaking gender reveal parties to yourself.
But I mean, and it doesn't have to be this big negative thing. I was assigned female at birth and I do identify as a female. It happens that way sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't, you know? And I think that that is a reality that we need to all accept, and that kids can know that too. It's not this big, I don't know. It's not a big gross secret. I don't know why we can't talk to kids about that.
Or sometimes you're not one or the fucking other. Like, I'm gender fluid. I feel very in fucking between. I'll go through my whole life and be like, woo, I don't know. I'm a fucking, like, what do you call those? An amalgamation of, like, random genders.
Yeah. Like,
And so what?
And you know? Talking to kids about being gender fluid, being non-binary. It's these things should be fine and normal, and because there's nothing sexual or mature necessarily even about it. It's just a part of the human experience. We should talk about it when they're little. We should talk about it when they're big. We'll keep talking about it because it might change as they come to know themselves. That's fine.
Yeah.
Now, if we're talking about sexuality, then the part of this that bothers me is that why are we specifically talking about gay sexuality only? I think if they're in the third grade, let's just leave sex out of it altogether. How about that?
Yeah.
How about let them figure out addition and subtraction?
Is it the third grade and younger?
I see.
Yeah.
And I'm let's leave everyone's genitalia out of it. How about that? Like, let's just let them be
like, what if we didn't?
Children.
What if we didn't?
What if we didn't talk about sexual attraction at all, because they're nowhere near puberty and, we shouldn't have to worry about that for a while.
You're still pushing people off the swings and eating fucking relish packets. Like, calm down. You're all right.
Like, ew, did you eat relish?
Just relish out of the packets?
I had relish challenges. It's a lot.
She's I had a few. I had a few relish packets.
I don't think, I want you to know that we didn't all, I dabbled. We weren't all eating relish.
Lunch program, and I didn't really like the lunch very much. God,
that's such Rona a sad Cole story.
In Alaska. It's a segue.
Wow.
That is what made you gay. It's the relish.
It's the relish packets. It's in the relish.
So you know what? I am going to introduce a bill that says don't say relish packets, and it's going to ban all relish packets.
Don't know how I feel about it.
You know what? It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. I do have to say something, and I think I just was thinking about it, and I think that it kind of goes back to like the sexualization of the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting and honestly devastating to me that no matter like, even when I like come out to people and they're like, well, I don't care who you sleep with. And as if
you're like,
as if like that's all that gay relationships are, right? If you told somebody I'm dating a man, they would never be like, well, I don't care who you sleep with. They'd be like, wow, tell me about him. Tell me about this person. Tell me about this person that you share your life with.
We're just out here in the streets. Just
tell
like-
me about this. But if I say I'm gay, or whatever, and people are like, well, I don't care who you fuck. And I'm like, okay, like, that's not what I said. I didn't even mention that. Like, I just think that it's so interesting to me that we dumb down gay relationships as to just sex, as if we also don't have intense and emotional and intimate relationships with people. I just find it's disgusting, actually.
I've never really thought about it like that. Thank you for saying that, because there have been, I mean, everybody knows I'm a Christian, so I've heard a lot of...
You?
I know, it's a shock to us all. So I've heard a lot of anti-gay rhetoric that I have then come against as a Christian to another Christian.
Stiff-armed.
I have always wondered, but you're right, it like relegating it, because I have had the thought, like, why do you care so much about who somebody else sleeps with, which I stand by, But it's not just about who somebody else sleeps with. It's about who somebody else loves in general. Like who somebody else is in relationship
with. Why, you may ask? Why are they so obsessed with us? Okay, they're obsessed. You want to know why they're obsessed? Because we are the most authentically ourselves. We step into, in a very brave space of having to step into the world that already has judgments on us. So we love freely and we have sex freely. We do whatever the fuck we fucking want without that, because they're held by fucking strings. They're not themselves fully. That is deep, deep, deep sadness and like jealousy is what I think. So they're obsessed with us.
Yeah. No, like, I do find the people that are most like,
you know what I mean? Like,
that are most, that have the most vitriol against it, I do feel like they're probably suppressing something. Because otherwise, why are you so...
Yeah, otherwise, why do you...
I'm not even saying that they are, that they would identify as part of this community, but I'm saying they aren't living their full selves or their full truth.
In some way.
So they don't understand why we can be happy, why we can openly love and be that way, right? In a world that has so many cards stacked against us, and yet here we are being our... you know, open, loving selves, that upset, because, you know, people who are hurt, hurt people, and people who are sad try to make other people fucking sad. They want to bring other people down. Well, you have to try to take down the whole fucking community. And, you know, it's just like, stop being obsessed with us.
Sorry, we're great. Like, sorry, we're great. Well, you know what? I mean, Laska, I am so glad that you popped in here last little minute.
That was so magical.
Oh my God, the best timing. Like she felt us. She knew.
I knew.
One more. This is just like a quick little aside. If you guys have any friends that work at Disney or anything like that, they staged a walkout today in protest of the Don't Say Gay bill and the support of Disney executives of these politicians who are writing the bill. And so they've staged a walkout. So just kind of be aware. Just keep an eye on that. Keep a lookout. See what comes of it, if anything. I know that the CEO has already kind of said that they should have done more to discredit that bill and kind of like say something more than like, we should have done better, and then just like throw money at it.
But
biggest freaking entertainment conglomerate in the world. Don't worry about it. But yeah, so just keep an eye on that. A lot of us have friends that work with Disney and for Disney and everything like that. So just know that no matter how bleak shit gets, people are always willing to fight for it.
Yeah. Word.
And that's it.
And with that, we're going to wrap up. Everybody wrap up with something they're excited about in the coming week. Go. I'll start. I realize everybody needed to think. I moved apartments, and I'm going to be celebrating that with a bunch of people that I love very soon. And I am so stoked to have a bunch of love in this. There's already so much love in this place. I love this fucking apartment so much. But I'm excited to have my community in here because I'm about my people. So. I'm very excited.
Community minus one.
Yeah, well, minus a bunch, but for sure.
Just mine.
No, just you.
Just me. There can only be one.
Yeah, no, we will miss you.
Oh my God, I'll miss you guys too. I have one. I was supposed to have a meeting with an acting coach today, but we had to reschedule because we got our time zones mixed up. But I'm really excited, and my horoscope said that this was the right path for me, and I'm excited to just like kind of like dive back in and
yes, it's the right path for you.
Scratch the acting itch because I've been missing her. So
talented.
I'm excited for that on Friday, and yeah, that's it.
Great.
Laska Muse or Wiz?
I'm gonna see my family tomorrow. So that's always awesome. And it's also my birthday coming up soon. So once it turns to April, it's like go time for me.
It's the 14th, right?
14th, yeah.
Woo!
I can't wait.
Very excited.
Put that in the calendar.
Bro, it's in my calendar. That's how I knew.
No, it is in mine. I just realized it says
I'm sorry.
Be a better friend. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Paige, you're the best. The absolute best.
I'm so sorry. I'm putting it in there right now. I'm sorry. I'm doing it.
Put it
okay.
in.
Okay. Alaska Muse. Frozen. Hit us with it, baby.
Yeah. I've had like a fairly like insane week. So I'm excited to like ride my bike.
Hell yeah.
Oh, the end of sentence. Yes. Yes. I was like, are you going to ride it somewhere in particular?
It's just very like peaceful for me. And it just reminds me of like when I was a kid. I don't know, there's something about it that you just don't get as an adult. Cause you know, we're all fucking adults. And so you just do adult shit all day long. So when you ride a bike, it's like, and no one can tell you shit. And you're just like riding your bike. It's fucking cool. I don't know.
I don't know how to ride a bike, but that sounds.
I don't know how to ride a bike either, Casey. Oh my God, you're my people.
I'll teach Absolutely you not. On my bike.
I've made it almost 30 years.
I was like, it's too late. It will only be embarrassing at this point.
Exactly. Like, have you seen that episode of Schitt's Creek? I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, that was magical. We hope you guys out there are riding your proverbial bikes, whatever that means for you,
or your actual bike.
Or your actual bike, if you're that kind of person.
people do ride their bike.
If you're one of those.
Just you two that are being really weird about it. Sorry. Sorry.
It was the bike that made you gay, wasn't it?
It was totally the bike that made you gay. This is what makes sense. Oh, or maybe it's God. A relish right. bike combo. Okay, we have to go.
Okay, get out. I'm not a relish bike combo.
I'm so happy that all... that all four of our legs ended up here.
Five
legs.
Dolly Parton.
Dolly's here.
Dolly.
She's our new mascot. Can we get her on a cup? Can we get her on a shirt? Can we get her on a trench coat?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, all three.
She almost hung out with us during the podcast.
Dolly.
She got scared.
Okay. Right, have a great week. See y'all next time. And as usual, like, rate, comment, subscribe, and share. Bye.
Smash that subscribe.
We talked about the use of the word smash, and I still don't like it.
It's called a callback, Casey. Look it up.
I still don't. I don't enjoy it. Goodbye.
Okay, I don't really either, but but I love you. So.
Bye.
Oh, I do love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God.
Gay. Okay.